But it's my generation. My generation is one of the most illiterate, biblical illiterate people in our nation. And actually, it is the largest group of people now in America. As it's from ages 18 to under. The largest group of people in America are teenagers and young people. We're not investing enough. I don't think so. We need to see more young people get saved. And, you know, we're so thankful that we can be here and to be a part of that. But we need help. You know, young people need a lot of work, a lot of attention. They're needy people. You know that. Most of y'all grew up teenagers. They're needy people. Because I haven't yet. And so that's why I'm not in that group. If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Samuel chapter 18. 1 Samuel chapter 18. Last week we talked about a friend to have. A friend to have. And truly, honestly, we need to have friends, especially in Christian friends that will encourage us and help us and strengthen us in the things that the Lord's laid on our hearts to do. But we also need to be the friends to other people that they can have. 1 Samuel chapter 18. This will be my last week in here. I might be in here one more time. And all God's people said amen. I'm just kidding. I am just kidding. This will be my last week, and then we'll have Mr. Gregor and somebody else doing the lessons in the following weeks. As pastor still doing his class, I've heard nothing but good things from his class. So it's really helping and encouraging. 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 1 through 4, we talked about a friend to have and a friend that we need to be. This week we're going to talk about something very interesting. We're going to talk about something that somebody had. You know, sometimes we look at heroes in their lives and we ascribe to them those terms of heroes is because of something that they have done. You know, David right here in this portion of scripture, we come from killing Goliath to being in this place in his life. Remember this, nothing is an accident. Nothing is an accident with God. God allows you to go through things to humble you, but also to teach you. God allowed David to go through these things to humble him, but also to teach him. You know, sometimes we want to see these big heroes in the Bible. We want to see their faith and we want to see what God has done in their lives. And we want to take application from their lives that we may apply to our lives. A lot of times we want to do that. David here, we find in this scripture, has three things that he talks about. You know, when God repeats himself, you know, when God says something, we should listen, right? But when God repeats himself, that's something we really need to take a heed to and really study it out. If you have your Bibles in 1 Samuel chapter 18, we're going to read from verse 5 through 16. And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him and behaved himself wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of Saul's servants. And it came to pass as they came, David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistines, and the women came out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul hath slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000, and unto me they have ascribed but 1,000s. What have he more than but the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day forward. And it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house. Now remember, the evil spirit, God's not an evil spirit, but an evil spirit came upon Saul and he prophesied. This wasn't a good prophecy. This was a horrible, wicked prophecy because the evil spirit of God came upon him. And David played with a hand as at other times. And there was a javelin in Saul's hand. And Saul cast a javelin, for he said, I will smite David even unto the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice. You got to understand, King Saul was a warrior here. He was probably one of the best warriors in the army. He was preferred among all the other ones. He was high in stature. So for him to miss David twice, is really unheard of. That's almost, we almost think about it. You know, it's like a hunter shooting a gun with a scope on it and missing the deer twice. That's happened, by the way. That happened to me. But it's almost unheard of. It's almost unheard of if you have two clear shots at something to miss it. It's almost unheard of. It's happened to me, though. And Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul. Therefore, Saul removed him from him and made him his captain over a thousand. And he went out and came in before the people. And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways. And the Lord was with him. And wherefore, when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him. But all Israel and Judah loved David because he went in and went out and came in before them. Did you see the recurring instance that happened here? Three times the Bible says David behaved himself wisely. We're going to talk about that, the behavior of David. In verse 5, it says, it's ascribed to him in that latter verse, in the middle of that verse, and behaved himself wisely. Then in verse 14, we find the same thing. It says, and David behaved himself wisely. And then in verse 15, Saul himself said, David behaved himself very wisely. A lot of times we want to look at this passage of Scripture and we want to talk about jealousy. You can talk about that in the Scripture. And I was going to talk about that until God pointed out this, that David was a wise man. It's pretty amazing because you would think about him now defeating Goliath. He now was set over the men of war. He was as you would say, a captain or a person that was a sergeant or something over Saul's army. But all this happened, and save David having a friend, a godly friend, God gave to him. And then it says that he behaved himself wisely. If you would ask me if I was a Christian, I would tell you yes. And I would tell you why I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian because God convicted me of my sin, came to me by the Holy Spirit of God, convicted me of my sin. And by that, I did it biblically where I confessed and believed that Christ was risen from the dead, rose from the dead, and I believed in my heart. The Bible says, thou shalt be saved. If you would ask me, am I a Christian? That's what I would tell you. Yes, I'm a Christian because what of Christ has done on Calvary's cross. I'm a Christian because of the shed blood that he had paid on Calvary's cross, the life that he gave, the life that he came and lived. And what a friend we have in Jesus. We have a great friend in Jesus. But if you would ask me, have I always behaved myself as a Christian? I would have to confess to you and be ashamed. Not always. If you ask yourself the same question, have I always behaved myself as a Christian? Our minds go back so much, so many times, where we haven't behaved ourselves as Christians. David, in the portion of this life, behaved himself as a Christian. Behaved himself as a Christian. You know, he was described here that he was a wise man. You know what the word wise, other words, portion of Scripture is translated? Means to prosper. David was wise. In his life, he prospered because of it. This word wise is given to the character of David here. It doesn't show primarily the relationship that he has with Saul. It shows primarily his relationship that he has with God. Being a wise person shows our relationship not that we have with other men, but that we have a relationship with God. In Psalm or in Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, in that very first part of that verse, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. David was a wise man because he feared the Lord. He had fear because that's the beginning of all wisdom, is the fear of God. David behaved himself wisely, shows that he feared God. We cannot be wise if we do not fear God. Now, this fear is a reverential fear. This fear is not afraid, like scared, hide underneath your bed or run away because of something, but this is a reverential fear. This is a fear that is actually a right fear. And there's the Bible talks about the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whosoever feareth the Lord shall be safe, because there is a good fear that we need to have, and that's to fear God because of who He is. He is the Almighty God. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's the one that created all things. He is the one that gave us salvation and provided that free gift to us. He is the one to be feared, and David feared Him. Have you ever thought about somebody, if you're thinking now about David being a wise person, have you ever thought about somebody being very unwise? Can you even think about somebody right now that you know that is very unwise? Think about their life. Are they giving God the rightful place in their life? Many of you will say, yes, and I know a person right now that I'm not dealing with, but it's very close to me, that she is being very unwise in what she's doing. But if you go to the very heart of the matter, it's because of her relationship with God. We see all these outward expressions of things that people do, but in reality, it's a heart matter. When a person is unwise, it's because they're not giving God the rightful place in their life. When there's times where I've been very unwise, and there's been plenty of times where I've been very unwise, it's because I didn't give God the rightful place in my life. The rightful place in my life. David here was a wise man. And we see that because he was wise, he feared the Lord. And because he feared the Lord, he gave God his rightful place in his life. We think about behavior. We think about actions that we do. We think about things that come into our lives and things that we do. Behavior has it comes with something else. Behavior, really, something comes with behavior in our life. It's this thing that we don't like to talk to about all the time. It's a word called attitude. You know, a lot of times our attitude, you know, somebody else can't control our attitude. No one else can control over my attitude. But they can influence my attitude. But it's my choice to either if I'm going to have a good attitude or a bad attitude. David was ascribed to be a wise man. And come with being a wise man, he had the right attitude. We'll see that later on when I get to my points. I'm just in the introduction still. A person behaves a certain way because he believes a certain way. Think about it. You say, we talked about atheists earlier. Has anybody ever talked to an atheist in length? In length. Has anybody ever talked to an atheist in length? You have. Have you talked to an atheist? An atheist. I'm talking about a person that says they do not believe God. A person that's wholly, utterly against God and everything against God. If you really get into their lives and you start talking to them, every supposedly atheist at one time believed in God. All the atheists I've ever gotten in conversation with somehow gotten hurt, somehow gotten offended by somebody didn't hold up to their end in their past. And now they become atheists. I haven't really talked to many atheists ever. I don't think I've never talked to an atheist in length. I mean, in length. There's been a lot of people that claim to be atheists. They truly weren't because they believe God, but they call themselves atheists. In their past, something had happened to them. A person's behavior always connected to what he believes. You think about somebody that doesn't believe in heaven and hell. What do you think about their behavior? They would live for this world. Think about somebody that has a godly behavior, the one that lives for Christ and one that goes to, has principles of God's word in his life. He lives for God. So a behavior always is around, or as you would say, is connected to this certain belief, and that's what they believe. David believed in God. God gave him wisdom. You think he had this wisdom by his own self? It'd be foolish to think that. Why? Because wisdom comes from above. We don't have the ability in our own selves to be wise. We don't have that. David behaved himself wisely three different times. We find that it was connected to what he believed. And what he believed was that he believed in God and that he feared God, as Psalms chapter 9 had said. Psalms chapter 9 and verse 10 that says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." We all need wisdom. There's certain things that happen in life where we really need God's wisdom. We need to walk in the fear of the Lord. Why? Because at any time when we need wisdom, we're, as you would say, walking in God's presence, knowing that God's always with us, or that we're always walking in accordance to God's will, and understand we are still sinners. We understand that, and we'll fail, and there's times where we'll fail, and there's times where we'll be unwise, and a lot of times we'll be unwise is because we don't give God his rightful place in our lives. David was a wise man. Let's see why. There's three reasons. I'm going to come right out of the portion of the scripture. It says, "And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him." And then it says, "and behaved himself wisely." In verse 5, we find that David behaved himself wisely wherever he went. It says that in verse 5. Look at it. "And David went whithersoever Saul sent him and behaved himself wisely." Wherever King Saul wanted him to go, we don't know exactly where. The Bible doesn't give it. The Bible doesn't give reason why or where he went. But we could think in our mind, maybe David was, we know that he was over the kingdom. He was over a certain portion of the kingdom. Maybe he went to different places giving the testimony of how God had used him to kill Goliath, and how God has done this, and how God has saved Israel and saved Israel from the Philistines. Maybe he went out and gave just a testimony in that he was wise. Maybe he had to go and set in order different places in Judah, maybe in portions of Israel, and maybe even in Jerusalem itself. There was things probably out of order that when Saul set him over these things, that he went and behaved himself wisely. A lot of times we get mad when we go outside of what we think we're going to do. Giving you an example. My wife is very good at this. Please don't tell her I use her as an example. I'll go to Walmart and get what she's asked me to get. I'll be almost back home and she calls me and says, "Oh, I forgot this. Oh, I forgot you to get this. Oh, I forgot." And then we get upset about it. And like, "Well, honey, I'm not going back out." "Well, I need, you want to eat? You're going to have these things." "Okay." And we get upset about it. But we have to remember, God always orders our steps. If we are a born-again believer, God, and there was many a times where I have lost God's blessings in my life because I got upset at going places when I didn't really want to go to them. You know, God gives us specific places that he wants us to go. David was sent by King Saul out to different places, and the Bible says he behaved himself wisely wherever he went. You know, a lot of times we go to places and we get frustrated because we have to go back to places. And when God in reality is trying to say, "I want to use you in this place." You know, a lot of times we go to Walmart. There is multitudes of unsaved people in Walmart. We used to go, well, I didn't. The youth group back when I got saved, they used to go into Food Lion and drop cards down the alcohol aisle. Drop tracks down into the beer, down the alcohol aisle. They behaved themselves wisely wherever they went. You know, God allows us, and we get in contact with so many people. Think about how many people you talk to a day. Maybe if you're more like me, I don't really get to talk to much people, especially when I'm around the church all the time. When I was in college, they forced us to go out and door knock, which was a good thing. It's not a bad thing. But they forced us to get out of the realm of the school. Because we're always surrounded by so many Christians. And we want to surround ourselves by those. We want to surround ourselves by those that believe just like us. We don't like to be around people that don't believe like us. A lot of times it's because we can't give them the correct answer. A lot of times it's because we don't know our Bibles well enough. But God sends us to different places in life. And he expects us to be wise about it. Sometimes we go out to eat. We don't go out to eat very often. Which I say that, but it seems like we go out to eat all the time. How are we behaving ourselves wisely? Maybe the food takes a little bit long to get there to your table and you start complaining. Y'all are not my priest. Y'all, please understand this. I'm not confessing my sins to you. I'm just trying to give you an example. Friday night, we went to Durham, North Carolina. I got a picture of the traffic. It was horrible at 5 o'clock. Horrible. And if any of y'all rode with me before, I have bad road rage. God's working on my heart about that. You can't judge me. God's working on my heart about that. So we stop at Cookout, and it's been raining. It rained like cats and dogs here. It rained cats and dogs on the way. I mean, for 2 hours straight, it seemed like it rained heavy. I was still doing 70 miles an hour. And it was raining heavy. It wasn't bad enough to where you couldn't see. I stayed out of the lanes where the water was puddling up, and we had somewhere we had to be. And we got there. Well, we got to the town. Well, we wanted to go to Chick-fil-A. But Chick-fil-A was another 10 minutes past the church. And I told the youth group, I said, listen, we're not going to make it. If we just get to that, that's about all we're going to get to. And if we get to there, which is going to take another 30 minutes to get to there because of the traffic, which in reality, when we left that night, you want to hear the funny thing? It only took us 5 minutes to get back to the interstate when it took them almost 20 minutes to get to the church before that. And so we stopped at Cookout. Has anybody ever ate at Cookout before? Do you know how most Cookouts don't have an indoor lobby? Right? They have the drive-through, but they also have a walk-up one that you can walk up to and eat. Well, it's cloudy outside. I'm thinking, well, we're safe right now. It's not going to rain. And we'll just go to Cookout. Because we promised them either we'll go to Chick-fil-A or Cookout. So I couldn't go back on my word. I had to go to either one of them. I couldn't make it to Chick-fil-A because they wouldn't give us no time to eat. So I went to Cookout. And lo and behold, you wouldn't know what happened when we got out of the van. It started raining. Well, I had stayed there with the teens. My wife and I were the first ones to order our food. We're trying to help the teens because some of them haven't been there to Cookout before. And so they were wondering what was good to eat, what was not good to eat. So we had helped them. We had ordered first, and then we had helped them make their orders. But my wife went back to the van, and it started raining. It happened when my wife went back to the van. It starts to rain, and it's only got a ledge about 2 foot that you can stand underneath. And man, they were getting wet. And they were taking a long time. And I said something I probably shouldn't have said. I said, couldn't they even have a canopy out here? They're taking a whole lot of time out there cooking our food. And they could at least provide some shelter for us. But in reality, that worker was standing right there. And really, that lost my testimony. I'm wearing a shirt and a tie. And one of the teams that heard me say it. To me, I lost the testimony in the eyes of that. Why? Because I wasn't behaving myself wisely. A lot of times we go to places and, you know, we think, oh, it's taken so long. Anybody ever been to that volcano place and ate in front? It takes like 30 minutes just to get them to come cook your food. It's good food. But then you start complaining after about 10 minutes. You know, this world, we are living in what you call an instant world. I mean, and by is they want everything now. You think about all the TV dinners we buy at just so we can pop in a microwave so we don't have to waste time to cook. Or think about all the fast food restaurants we have. And we're, as you would say, trying to buy time because time is so precious to us now. You know, in reality, we get so caught up in wanting everything now, now, and now. And we don't behave ourselves wisely outside. David behaved himself wisely wherever Saul sent him. Understand this. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And then it says, he delighteth in his ways. Meaning, everywhere you go as a Christian here on this earth, God has ordered your ways. God wanted you to go that way. A lot of times we go places where we shouldn't go. We shouldn't be at places. And then, of course, that's sin in our life that we shouldn't go to certain places. I understand that. And God doesn't order us to go to those places where we're going to sin against Him. Understand that. God will never bring us to the place where we're going to sin against Him or want us to go to a place where we're going to sin against Him. God will never want us to go there. God will never want us to go to a place where we are tempted by this and knowing that we are tempted by this and God's ordered our steps there. God will never go against God will never tempt us in the first place, but God will never bring us to the place of temptation. That's not a God that we serve. I mean it when God orders your steps during the day. You think that you're getting, your battery breaks, or your battery goes bad in your car, and you get so mad, now I gotta go get a battery, but maybe God wanted you to witness to that person that comes and helps. You know, sometimes I've seen people stop on the side of the road. I knew a pastor friend of mine, he always would stop, it doesn't matter who was on the side of the road. He knew, because he said, I've been there. I've been broken down on the side of the road. I've been in that place where I wanted to help them, or I needed help, and nobody come and help me. I don't want anybody ever to go through that. And he would stop, and every time he would stop, he would give his testimony. And he saw a lot of people saved just by going and stopping and helping them. Why? Because people see that they care. It was pretty amazing yesterday. My wife and I went on bus visitation. And to hear those people say, Mr. Paul, Mr. Paul, Mr. Paul, did something in my heart. Why? Because they know that you're faithful and they know that you love them. We must behave ourselves wisely wherever we go. God wants to work through us. God wants to work in our lives and through our lives. Why? To lead others to Christ, to be an example to other people. Have you ever been to a time where you've been unwisely and you've been out? And somebody says, are you sure you're a Christian? Well, I wish you worked at a welding place, my last job, and there was a time in my life where God was working on my heart, working in my life, trying to get some things out of my life, trying to get me more focused on Him, to serve Him. And one of the guys said, are you sure you're a Christian? That hurt. Why? Because I wasn't behaving myself wisely. I didn't have God in His rightful place in my life. And when we behave ourselves unwisely, when we go and God sends us to places where in our own schedule we didn't really order us to be there, or something had happened for us to be outside of where we really wanted to be, God has ordered that way. And God wants you to be an example, and you must behave yourself wisely as you're being that example. But the problem is because we don't give God His rightful place in our lives at that portion of time. Think about the times where you behaved yourself unwisely, where, as you would say, God sends us. I can tell you time and time again where just this past weekend, and I thank God it did that in my heart to show me what He was trying to show out of this portion of Scripture. It's amazing how God works in our own lives. So first thing we see how David behaved himself wisely wherever Saul sent him. Wherever Saul sent him, he behaved wisely. The second thing in verse 14. And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways. The Bible says he behaved himself wisely in all his ways. Maybe you're thinking it right now in your mind, well, isn't that the same thing as where we would go? All our ways? But in reality, that's not what this portion of Scripture is talking about. This is talking about his life. Look at, I'm going to just read you some verses. Just think about this. I'm just going to read you some verses. In Psalms 25:4, it says, show me thy ways, O Lord. Life, commandments, things that we need to live by. In Psalms 39:1, and I said, I will take heed to thy ways. In Psalms 51:13, then will I teach transgressors thy ways. In Psalms 119:3, they also do no iniquity. They walk in all his ways. I have five other verses that's talking about the life in which we live. David lived a life that was pleasing to the Lord. And because he feared God, he was wise in his own life. He was wise in his own life. There was things that he wouldn't do. There was places that he would not go. There was things he would not stay out of his mouth. Why? Because he was a wise man. A lot of times our mouth is the biggest thing that gets us into trouble. David behaved himself wisely in the way he lived. You ask that question, am I behaving myself wisely in the way I live? Am I giving account to the time that I really need to have in this life? Am I using my time and my life wisely for the Lord? Am I giving my whole heart, my whole life and God's rightful, to have God's rightful place in my life. Am I behaving myself wisely in my life? A lot of times we don't like to live with, or we don't like to do what other people tell us to do. A lot of times we don't like, because that's pride. We are sinful men, or we are sinful mankind. I would say not just sinful man, because yeah, men are sinful, yes. But mankind, we're so sinful. Why? Especially because of pride in our hearts. We don't want to do what other people tells us to do. You know, we don't want to do what my wife tells me. She bucks up to me all the time. I don't want to do that. Well, honey, we have to do it. You know, we need to live our lives with wisdom. And the wisdom comes from in our lives by giving God His rightful place. Have you ever, think about the time in your life where you're so thankful that, say, thank you, Lord, for giving me that wisdom in there. You know, there was something I needed to get out of my life. You gave me wisdom because I feared you. And now look where you've put me. I'm not talking about bad things, but now look what you've done with me. We've seen so many people saved. We see where we are now in our lives is because we have given our lives to Him. But we behaved ourselves wisely. Why? Because we gave God the rightful place in our life. David could never behave himself wisely in his life if he didn't give God the rightful place. Are we giving God the rightful place? Oh, we see where he goes, he behaved himself wisely. The life that he lives and the life that he shows forth, he behaved himself wisely. And last thing, he behaved himself wisely with Saul. Verse 15. Wherefore Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely. We know in this portion of scripture that Saul was to kill him. He tried to kill him already by this portion of the scripture twice. He cast a javelin twice at David. And he wanted David to die. But David wasn't bitter. David didn't have a bad attitude. If it was, it would have been recorded in the Word of God. David had the right attitude. Why? Because even Saul himself, it says he was afraid because David was a wise man. Listen, the world needs Christ. We have a whole world that is looking how we live. We have a whole world that is watching what we do and where we go. But also, they're seeing how we behave to them. A lot of times we get frustrated with unsaved people. You're like, how can you not see? Well, they're spiritually dead. I'm praying for one of the teens in our church, or a couple of our teens in our church, because I believe that they're spiritually dead. They're not wise in anything that they do. It's like, why are you doing that? That's so, to me, it's dumbfounded. You know, you hear the Word of God preached 3 times, sometimes 4 times a week, and yet you're still doing these things and you're still doing that. Why? Because they're spiritually dead. They haven't given God the rightful place in their life. David behaved himself wisely in 3 things. Where he went, his life, and with Saul. Let me ask you this question. Are you behaving yourself wisely? Understand this. Wisdom is connected to the fear of God. And it's about what you believe. Wisdom is always connected. How we behave in our life is always connected with what we believe. So I ask you this question, are you being a wise person? Wisdom comes from God. And are you giving God His rightful place in your life? Are you living the life that God would want you to live? Are you doing things that God will want you to do? Understand this, God will order our steps if we ask Him to, and He will. But a lot of times we don't like it, because it's outside our comfort zone, or it's outside our schedules. And as an assistant pastor, you have to live by a schedule, a strict schedule. If not, nothing will get done. Nothing will get done if you don't live by a strict schedule. Understand this. A lot of times we don't have wisdom in our life is because God doesn't have His rightful place. God wants to have His rightful place in our lives. We must give to Him. Let's pray. Father, we love You. Thank You for the Word of God. Thank You for Your goodness and Your mercy to us. Thank You for showing us this wisdom that David had in his life, the wisdom that only came from You, and how he behaved himself wisely these 3 times Lord, teach us these principles. Help us to behave ourselves wisely. Help us to behave wisely in our lives and how we live. And help us to behave ourselves wisely to this world. Father, we are just pilgrims. We are not to live for this world, but we're supposed to live for you. Help us to be wise people. Help us to give you our rightful place in our lives. We love you and thank you. In Christ's name, amen.